Good morning. Welcome to Clear Lake Christian Church. Nice to see everybody. Beautiful Northern Iowa day out there this morning. And I just wanted to go over a couple of things before we get started. Just to make sure everybody's aware that the beacons for May are out and have been out. They're in the last classroom on the left down there in the mailboxes. If you don't have a mailbox, though, don't keep that on. Don't let that keep you out of there. There are extra copies right down in front of the mailboxes. So please avail yourself of a beacon because it has a message from Pastor Scott. It has a calendar in the middle that tells everybody what we're going to do so we can all be at the right place at the right time. So this is a chance for me to remind you that there's a missions meeting after worship today. Elders is tomorrow night. And Wednesday is our annual May basket event. And I got to tell you, if you haven't been involved in that yet, you're missing out. And if you have, if you'd like to know more about it, please see Daryl while he's here. Daryl, wave your hand so everybody knows who you are. Daryl's going to be kind of coordinating that. So if we could have max participation in that, many hands, much light work and all. I also wanted to share with you, many of us remember a man that was here that was very faithful about coming, but he's been, a few months ago, was moved out of the area by his family and is now closer to family, which is good for him. But Gary Jennings wrote us a letter this week, and I wasn't going to read all of it, but I did want to just say that he says here that he's living just outside of Des Moines in an area close to his brother and sister-in-law. And he wanted me to tell everybody hi. And if you know Gary well, you know that one of the things that he always told us was to take it one day at a time. So he closed his letter with just one day at a time, your friend. I personally would ask that you would keep Gary in your prayer list because those of us that know him, miss him. And it was a sad day when he moved away and we lost him as part of his family. So to open the service, I would like to read from the 90th Psalm, the closing verse. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Let us pray. Almighty Father, as we gather this morning in this house to offer up praises, worship, to hear a message from your word, we are so glad that you are with us. We are so glad that you enable us to offer up these songs and these praises. We ask that that your presence would be more than ever evident in the efforts that we have going on this week with missions and with May baskets and this opportunity for us to step outside these walls to take church to Clear Lake. We know that that would be a good thing for us to do, but only if we do it in your name and in your strength. And we ask that you would help us to remember that it's not about us at all, that it's all about you. And that's why we are gathered here this morning to offer up these praises to you. We pray all these things in the name and the strength of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
That spread the heavens wide. Seated. Isn't that remarkable to think that the same voice that called out to Moses out of the burning bush, that's the same one that talks to us today. It's not a different God. He hasn't gotten any older or younger. It's the same one, same love. Now is the time in our service for the children's moment. So any kids that would like, come on up, find a safe place to sit. And be ready to listen.
I have an announcement. Today is not Mother's Day, but Ron's going to talk about mothers, and I'm going to talk about mothers. And when I said something to him, he said, you know, every day ought to be Mother's Day. So I want you right now, every single one of you, to start thinking about your mother. And what she does for you, and what you like about her, and I'm going to ask you that. And we all have at least one thing that we like about our mothers. You know, can you think where we would be if we didn't have a mother? We wouldn't be, would we? Everybody's got to have a mother. Okay, have you had a chance to think, what is it that you like about your mother? Great.
She cooks good food.
Say it loud enough to hear.
She cooks good food.
She cooks good food. Right.
She cleans my room.
She cleans my room.
I gotta have a talk with her.
Your mom.
She loves me.
She loves me.
She loves me.
She loves me. Okay, what do you like about your mom?
She pushes me on the swing. I get on.
She pushes you on the swing?
Yeah.
All right. Come on, Nora, rest you, Amy.
She gives good advice.
She gives good advice. Okay, I hope you remember that. You know,
she's there when I'm sad.
She's there when I'm sad. You have all kinds of really good reasons why you love that mom of yours. You know, and when I was trying to think about what I was going to do today, the first thing I thought about was a cat. And that's why I brought this mother cat with me. She's not too sassy, is she? No. But when you think about a mother cat, when she has little babies, little kittens, the first thing she does is feed them. All your moms feed you?
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully they feed you. Does your mom correct you? Do you get in trouble once in a while and get scolded?
Yes.
Now and then, right? Now and then. What else does she do for you? Does she protect you? You know, I think about that mama cat that when she has new babies, if she's not in a safe place, she'll take that little baby by the back of his neck and pick him up and move him someplace where it's safe. That's what moms do. They keep you safe too, don't they? And they cleanse you. Do they keep you clean? Who washes the clothes in your house? Sometimes we don't.
Yeah, your mom does, doesn't she?
You know? And the more I thought about moms, I began to think about how God loves us. You know, all those things that your mom does for you, she does it because she loves you. And mom sees to it that you feed. God sends us the rain and the crops. You know, he was the one that put this earth here in the first place. And so he cares that you have enough to eat, that you have the right kinds of things to eat. He protects you. You know, all you have to do is say, God, I need some help, and by George, it's right there. Occasionally, he corrects you when you are maybe needing some correction. And he tends for you, protects you, and he cleanses. And you know, when we pray to God and you ask him for cleansing, he will do it. He's given us a book. He's given us the word. He's given us the love. We're here because of that. He gave you your mother because he loves you. And mothers are, that's what they're all about. And I chose a scripture from Proverbs that says, do not forsake your mother's teaching. And I would say the same to you. God teaches you how to have the best kind of life you can have. Do not forsake that. Know that he loves you. He wants what's best for you, just like your mom does. Let's pray. Precious Lord, we thank you for the gift of mothers. Help us to have the wisdom and the caring to follow our mother's teachings. Help us to be the kind of child they want us to be, she wants us to be, and the kind that you want us to be. We ask this in your son's name. Amen.
And I will take hold.
'Cause I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue.
Capture. Wow, what a day out there, huh? And what beautiful music as well. Every day is a good day. Some are a little better than others. But for sure, this is a day to rejoice with the Lord. And we do welcome each and every one of you here this morning. There are prayer concerns out there. We just heard today, this morning, that Steve Cartwright, who's anxiously waiting to have some surgery, has had some other things sort of crop up, so it's being delayed. So Steve and Jan both need our prayers, and we're glad that Gary sent that message. It's always great to hear from Gary. I wish everybody would have a chance to have met Gary. He was one unbelievable person when it came to being upbeat and positive while he was out here to Opportunity Village. We pray for the search committee, and we know there's other health issues. Irene Cole, she, some of the family thought maybe she was going to pass into the next life, and she said, well, I'm not ready yet. So she perked right back up, even though several of them had come to say goodbye, and so she's doing okay. You know, she's over at the nursing home, so keep her in her prayers. And Lois Folgem as well. We had Joni back there. We always want to keep Joni in our prayers. I don't know if Dennis is here or not, but he needs prayer for energy and that sort of thing. The graduates, what, 10 days? 10 days, is that right? 9 days. Well, six, seven. Are the parents ready?
Not a chance.
Not a chance. How about back there? Are the parents ready in the back there? No, not ready, huh? Well, hey, we also have to mention, I must have missed something there. Oh, Matt said yes, and Mom said no. Okay. We also have to mention Scott and Naomi Johnson's son, Zach, is a Cyclone that's going to graduate this week. And I say, go Cyclones. And I understand he's also maybe got a job pretty close to the North Iowa area, so we're pretty proud of that situation as well. So Scott and Naomi, please pass our congratulations on to Zach, and I'm sure we'll see him. There they are. I kept looking for Scott and Naomi. We'll be seeing them in the near future. So tell him, go Cyclones. I'll see if I missed anybody. I'm sure I did somewhere along the way. But what beautiful weather, and hoping for some nice, refreshing rain this evening. And that'll really perk things up. And Diane tells me that Doug got all the corn planted, so that's good. There's a lot of corn went in this week. So let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, indeed, this is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a spectacular week we've had to further emanate the creations, the beauty that you have presented to us to enjoy and to live in this wonderful planet where we are. Scott, we know that there are health issues out there with many people. We pray for Jan and Steve, for Steve to be able to get back to the point that he can have that surgery and get some relief from the pain that he's been dealing with for the past quite a long time. And Irene, God bless her soul. She likes to keep him on the I guess, question marks there a little bit. She's always got a perky attitude, and I've always appreciated that. And we ask that you be with her and be sure that she is comforted, during these remaining years, remaining time here on the planet. And there's others in our midst that we've mentioned this morning. Please, please keep them in mind. For our graduates, dear Father, we ask that you watch over them. We ask that you be their compass, that you guide them down the right, sometimes difficult road rather than the easier wrong. And for Zach graduating from Iowa State, we also wish him the very best of success in his life ahead. And Father, as we go into our tithes and offerings this morning, we ask that you bless them to help multiply them manyfold so that we can carry the word to others. We ask these things in our risen Savior's name. Amen.
Love.
Well, as Jane says, this isn't Mother's Day, but I thought it was an opportunity to speak about mothers. And Scott said he was probably going to stick with Romans, and he's not shortchanging mothers anyway when he says that, but stick with his message in Romans coming up anyway. So this was a good opportunity for me. When I first got sort of the, or took the assignment, I guess, more than got it, you know, it was close to May 1st, and I thought to myself, well, maybe I'll speak about May Day, you know, and figure out some message associated with that. I never really thought about the message associated with that until last night when I was finishing this message up. So I have to save the May Day one for some time in October when it's not May Day, I guess. That's the way my mind operates often, as I know my family will attest to, for sure. Talk a little bit about the history first of how Mother Day's got started, and it was mentioned just briefly a little bit here earlier, but it's happened because of two young women in particular that were wanting to see their mother recognized. She passed away at an early age, and so they wanted to somehow recognize and acknowledge, you know, all the things she had done, even though she wasn't with them a good part of their life. And the same was sort of happened with Father's Day, although Mother's Day sort of started a little bit earlier than Father's Day did, even though the initial movement occurred about the same time. And no less, I was reading here a little bit of the history, and all of a sudden I understand the first Mother Day service, no less, was at the Andrews Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia. Now, I don't have a clue who those Andrews are, but Tracy, you're doing the lineage. You might check back in the Andrews Methodist Church and just see if you can find any shirt-tail folks that were involved then. See if any had my name or something, you know, just see if there might be a relation there somewhere. But I thought it was kind of interesting, and I copied that out of the history book. That isn't my own imagination working there, so I want you to know that. And it took quite a while for that movement to go finally statewide in West Virginia. The governor, his name was Glasscock of West Virginia, officially proclaimed First Mother's Day on a statewide basis. And then President Woodrow Wilson, with the approval of Congress, proclaimed the first official national Mother's Day on the second Sunday of May. That happened to be the same day that the mother of these girls died in 1914, 101 years ago. And there's a very interesting history just associated with all the things you can find without a lot of effort in the on the internet. Google something up, and it overwhelms me sometimes what's out there in terms of technology. As I thought about today's message, I thought to myself, really? What can I say that hasn't already been said about mothers and a mother's love? And the answer is, I seriously doubt that there is anything that would be new or something that you have not already heard before. A Jewish proverb tells us that God could not be everywhere. Therefore, he created mothers. And while we know indeed that God is omnipresent, his creations of mothers has to truly be a bonus when it comes to sharing the love of Christ with everyone. There's another quote often used in certain circumstances that warrant it. I think perhaps one of those circumstances occurred in Baltimore this year. So I bring my prop out. It was a mother. She was trying to show her son some love, and she was serious about it. She had a wooden ladle of some sort. I like this one here. It snaps a little bit better. But anyway, she was out there telling that kid to get off the street and quit doing the things he was doing in terms of vandalism and damage. And he was scurrying away if she was tapping him on the somewhere. And she did it truly out of a mother's love. And someday I think he'll realize that as well, that indeed was her love, even though it's coming a little bit harsh, that hopefully will keep you on the right track and not let those things occur again. As the news media said, well, maybe I ought to bring the moms out, let the police go ahead and do whatever they're supposed to do otherwise. So I thought that was very appropriate, and I really appreciated the fact that the news did pick up on that. My mother, she lived to a ripe old age of 97, her love and sage advice was with us to nearly her very last day. And I can remember giving communion to her there in the nursing home. And she couldn't hardly speak. She was weak. She was bedridden. And she still knew we were there. And we were a little concerned because the wafer that we were going to give her, it's dry and it's not very big. And she might choke on it. She was having trouble swallowing. So we went ahead and gave her the cup. And that worked out okay. And she couldn't speak very well. So we started to put everything up. We had to get ready for prayer. And she reached out. She wanted us to give her that wafer. And so we got the wafer for her. And it was something that I'll remember forever. There are obviously many varied opinions about what a mother should be like in this day and age and what a mother should or should not do. Throughout Scripture, we see attributes and the profile of a godly mother. We read from the Epistle Titus, the shortest of the epistles, which was written by the Apostle Paul in the faith who was pastoring a church of Crete. The Christians of Crete were influenced by the prevailing low morals in their society, and perhaps misinterpreting the grace of God to mean salvation was somewhat unrelated to daily conduct. Now, I would say that definitely is a misinterpretation. Titus was urged to insist that behavior is founded upon sound biblical doctrine. Titus lays down some of the Christian attributes commanded according to age, gender, and marital status. Here we find some teachings for older men and women, for younger men and women, for grandmothers and mothers and all citizens. The Scripture tells us of numerous women who believe in the Lord and help spread Christianity throughout the world. And it is mentioned in many, many places. And I have a book here that Irene's daughter actually asked me to, when it happens, to officiate the sermon for Irene. And she wanted to talk a little bit about some of the stalwart women of the Bible as it relates to Irene and her stalwartness and her staunch nature. So I thought I'd better pick up a little bit of a book here that called Women of the Bible. And there's 52 Bible studies for individuals and groups on 52 different women. And I'm just going to mention a few. There are a ton of them, very important mothers and other women of the Bible. There is Mary, of course, very, very essential and important. Eve was one of the first, obviously the first mother. Jezebel, Joanna, Jochebed, Leah. And they mentioned groups of women too here, the Shumalite women and some other women that I can't pronounce here, and the women of Samaria. Naomi and many others are mentioned in this book. Very interesting book and kind of bringing me up to speed on some things that I'll need to say when the time is necessary and right for that. A proverb, oh, let me back up a little bit. I'm getting a little bit, one paragraph ahead there. There will be many messages delivered next Sunday on the official Mother's Day celebration about the virtuous and godly women of Proverbs. Who can find virtuous, quote here, who can find virtuous women, her price is far above rubies. And I kind of picture that too, and that's pretty neat, quite frankly. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also calls her that. And he praises her. And that's in Proverbs 31:10-28. A good mother's resourcefulness and responsibility is above reproach. More often than not, mother indeed does know best. A proverb is a saying or expression that tells an obvious truth. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about women and especially mothers. How fitting the book ends with the best picture of all. And I want to read those scriptures here in Proverbs 31 and starting with 25. She is a woman of strength and dignity and has no fear of old age. When she speaks, her words are wise, and kindness is the rule for everything she says. She watches carefully all that goes on throughout her household and is never lazy. Her children stand and bless her. So does her husband. He praises her with these words: there are many fine women in the world, but you are the best of all. There's more to that, and if you want to delve into Proverbs, it truly has a lot of good information about mothers and women there. Okay. How fitting the book ends with a picture of the best of all. A woman has strong character, great wisdom, skills, and great compassion. Some people have mistaken the idea that an ideal woman in the Bible is retiring, servile, and entirely domestic. Not so. This woman is both an excellent wife, mother, and grandmother. She's also a manufacturer, an importer, a manager, a realtor, a farmer, a seamstress, an upholsterer, and a merchant, and the list goes on and on and on. She's definitely a multi-tasking person. You know, I'm lucky if I can get one test done, let alone all the tests that my mother used to do and the mothers of the day still do. Her strength and dignity do not come from her amazing achievements, however. They are a result of her reverence for God. In our society, where physical often trumps anything else, it may surprise us to realize that appearance is never mentioned in Proverbs. Her attractiveness comes entirely from her character. You know they're saying that beauty is only skin deep, and that beauty is in the eye of the beholders. But a mother's beauty comes from deep within her heart. A woman described in Proverbs chapter 31 has outstanding abilities. Her family's social position is high. In fact, she may not be one woman at all, but rather a composite portrait of ideal womanhood. Do not see her as a model to imitate in every detail. Your days are not long enough to do everything she does. See your mom and the mother of your children as an inspiration to all that you can be. Be all that you can be. We can't be just like her, but we can learn and emulate her industrious nature, her integrity, and her resourcefulness. Seem like there's two pieces. Let me double check here. Yeah, there is. I thought so. Okay. The book of Proverbs begins with the command to trust and show reverence to the Lord. That's Proverbs 1:7. And ends with the picture of a woman who fulfills this command. Her qualities are mentioned throughout the book. Hard work, fear of God, respect for spouse, and you guys, it works both ways. Foresight, encouragement, care for others, concern for the poor, and wisdom in handling money and many other things. These qualities, coupled with God's love, lead to enjoyment, success, honor, and worth. Proverbs is very practical in our day because it shows us how to become wise, make good decisions, and live according to God's ideal. The first of the Ten Commandments that ends with a promise is that if you honor your mother and father, yours will be a long life of blessings. So kids, adults, there are still moms and dads living up there, living out there that you have. Listen up. If you want a good and long blessed life, honor your mother and your father. It is easy when you are a middle schooler or a high schooler or middle school, I know at least some out there, and mom and dad are giving instructions and precautions, you know, be careful about this, be careful about that. Don't do something, you know, you shouldn't be doing. Make good choices, all that good stuff. And, you know, you come back with a reaction like this. Gosh, mom, dad, we're a whole lot more intelligent and smarter, and you don't give us much credit for that. That's what happens when we're growing up. You probably heard the story about the frazzled mother who sent her little boy to bed because he was behaving badly. She heard him grumbling, "Every time mom gets tired, I have to go take a nap." Here's one to think about as well. The Statue of Liberty, which has been the welcome to freedom to this great country of ours, has waved and loomed over the New York Harbor for nearly 100 years. The French sculptor, by the name of Bartholdi, spent $4 million and 20 years creating the Statue of Liberty. The French gave this great statue to the United States, but finding the right model was not an easy task. A model that would reproduce liberty, respect, and love. It had to be a woman. There are all great features and attributes that we see in moms today. The Statue of Liberty emanates these great attributes and has been examined by dozens of outstanding heroes in order to decide what model to take. But in the end, guess who? He chose. The sculptor chose his own mother to be the model for the Statue of Liberty. Somehow a guy holding up the Liberty light just wouldn't have the same effect as the Statue of Liberty or Lady Liberty has holding up that light. President Abe Lincoln, you know, what a remarkable fellow, I think. has had a lot to say about mothers. No one is poor who has a godly mother. He went on to say, I remember my mother's prayers, and they followed me. They clung to me all of my life. All that I am, claim, and hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Abe Lincoln was indeed a man of strong Christian belief and wisdom. Many thanks to his mother. Much has been written as to how God uses mother physiologically. The marvelous mystery of human propagation causes us to reverence motherhood. It was God's purpose to use women for populating, along with the help of man, his perfect creation with beings who live in harmony with himself. But the first mother of the world, and Adam, sort of messed that plan up a little bit in the Garden of Eden when the temptation occurred and Satan caused that temptation to be. The first sin created quite a bit of disturbance for motherhood. In God's grace, however, at Calvary, the Son of God forgave us for our sins, making it possible thereby God's original intention that hallowed motherhood could be restored. Christian mothers are the world's greatest asset. The great influence and wholesome and substantial contribution of human society comes from our mothers. The influence of mothers is without competition or comparison. The church, nations, governments, society depend upon mothers for stability, like the mom there in Baltimore, trying to bring a little stability to the things that were going on there. And if you don't know by now, within the home, mothers are the reigning queen. Yes, we would do well to honor mothers, who are the prime kingdom builders, the chief soul molders, the conspicuous character constructors, and the foremost agents for the eternal realm of heaven above every day of the year. Volumes have been compiled of all the beautiful things said and written about mothers. A loving mother is God's tenderest image in humanity, and some consider her God's holiest thing alive. Moms, more often than not, make God's an everyday part of their children's lives. Christian moms will teach their children about God's word, train them in God's way, and talk to their children about Jesus, as well as praying with them and for them. When we talk about volumes being written about beautiful things written about mothers, guess what I have? You guys have heard me before talk about Helen Steiner Rice. And I'm truly intrigued by all the things that she has written. I've got volumes of books, I guess, about Helen Steiner Rice. But I just picked up one yesterday, in fact, over at the rummage sale at a church there in Garner. And it's a dandy, too. Helen Steiner's Gifts of Love. And I want to read, if I get the right one here, one of her verses. And she has a ton of them. And I know maybe a lot of guys don't like poetry, but I am truly intrigued by some of the inspiration that comes out of people when they begin to write poetry, and particularly Helen Steiner Rice. And this is called A Mother's Love is a Haven in the Storms of Life. A mother's love is like an island in life's ocean, vast and wide, a quiet, peaceful shelter from the restless rising tide. A mother's love is like a fortress, and when we seek protection there, when the waves of tribulation seem to drown us in despair, a mother's love is a sanctuary where our souls can find sweet rest from the struggles and the tensions of life's fast and futile quest. A mother's love is like a tower rising far above the crowd, and her smile like a sunshine breaking through a threatening cloud. A mother's love is like a beacon burning bright with faith and prayer. And through the changing scenes of life, we can find a haven there. For a mother's love is fashioned after God's enduring love. It is endless and unfailing, like the love from God above. For God knew in his great wisdom that he couldn't be everywhere, so he put his little children in a loving mother's care. And I want to introduce, I did bring a CD that Tony, our funeral director's son, quite often uses at funerals. If you're at a funeral when you hear this CD, it's going to bring tears in your eyes. You may not do it today, but it really tells about moms and all the many things, the multitasking that they do. And believe me, if that song is played at someone who's lost their mom at a funeral, well, you'll get the drift of it when you hear it there. So I'm going to sit down, and I think it'll come on board. See what happens there. It's Jim Brinkman's the singer. There we go.
Mom and Dad were reading in the den. Mom said, I'm gonna go to bed, it's late. She went to the kitchen to make three school lunches. Another night and a Mother's Day. Put the cereal bowls out for breakfast. Set the coffee maker for 6 a.m. Sewed a loose button on brother's shirt for him. Check sister's math homework, sent a note to the teacher, added eggs to the grocery list. Started a load of wash, made sure the doors were locked, put water in the puppy's dish. Wrote a check to the children's piano teacher, turned the dishwasher on, and Dad called out, honey, what's taking you so long? Door and headed up the stairs. Kissed all the children and helped sister comb her wavy golden hair. Washed her makeup off and turned on the bath. Lay down in the moon's soft light and kissed Dad good.
I really think that song tells the story. It's never too late to say, I love you, Mom. And sometimes it happens with people. They do forget to say that, and it is too late. So keep that in mind as Mother's Day approaches. Actually, keep it in mind today and every day. Every day should really be Mother's Day. It is indeed appropriate. The name of that song was a Mother's Day, no less, and it was by Jim Brinkman. It is indeed appropriate to have a day set aside as one which we can pay tribute to the love and reverence that our mother brought to us and throughout the world as she nursed us through childhood and who loves us even unto those golden years. Mothers are honored because their children are their first thought and care. They are the ones who cheer us on in our successes and console us in our defeats. The observer of this day, anyone of this day that has a living mother, please honor her and don't forget. You got a week now to consider the cards and maybe some flowers, candy, maybe just a visit, maybe just one tremendous hug. So please consider that in this coming week, as she will truly covet that. Let Mother's Day bring happiness where it can, and let it turn the key to loving remembrance upon the cherished days of the past, for that is the only recourse, and we have observed Mother's Day in keeping it in its high and lovely purpose. Yes, we welcome the institution of Mother's Day, but is not commendable to remember our mothers, but is it not commendable to remember our mothers every day and not just the day designated as Mother Day? There are many lonely, almost unforgotten mothers and ladies out there who are really finding it hard to ends meet. And if you know someone like that, remember them as well. They are the mothers of someone, and sometimes the family situation, for whatever reason, does not allow that love to be transferred to mom and from mom to child as well. So keep that in mind. If you know somebody, remember to acknowledge that this week. So between now and next Sunday, gather a beautiful and perfect card expressing your love, maybe even a flower, some candy. Carnations are the established symbol of Mother's Day, but a rose certainly won't hurt. It'll merit favor as well. And on Mother's Day, that phone call or visit is the best way to honor her. Give her a big hug if she is near, and remember that mothers are God's gift of love to you. I'd like to say a prayer if we could, please. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are indeed so thankful that you created mothers, and they are a most important part of our life. And Father, help us to make every day Mother's Day, to show them the love that they have earned, to show them that you are truly thankful that they brought such meaning and wonderfulness to your life. Father, we ask that you be with mothers who may not yet have children, or some other family scenario does not allow them to enjoy the wonderment and the happiness of Mother's Day. And may we help, as the occasion presents itself, to be a part of their day and to give them a little bit of happiness and show that indeed God loves them. We ask these things in our risen Savior's name. Amen.
As we come to this portion of our service where we pause and take communion, it is right that we make use of this time to remember not only our Savior, the things that he did while he was here, the things that he taught us, but what he has done for us in eternity. And this week at Bible study, we were going through Zechariah. And there's a portion of chapter 3 where Zechariah sees the angel of the Lord, which is one of the Old Testament labels for the Son of God. And in it he sees the high priest Joshua before the judgment seat and being accused by the devil. And tells us that Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you." Zechariah gets so excited in verse 5. He says, "Then I said, put a clean turban on his head." That's kind of like nowadays where if I put a new shirt on, if Clark said, "Put on a tie, Dad. Put on his hat." And I just thought that this was such a fitting picture. When we take our eyes off of Jesus and we go about our life and think that we're doing okay and we're not too bad and we don't do these awful things that so many people do, we've forgotten about Jesus and we've forgotten about what he has done for us. And it's this time in our service here where we can remember what Jesus did for us while he was here on this earth and how that affects us throughout eternity. Let us pray. Almighty Father, we know that no matter how hard we try, that like the high priest Joshua, we would stand before your judgment seat dressed in filthy rags. That no matter how hard we tried to be good, if we did it in our own name and our own strength, it would be nothing and it would be worthless. We take this time to remember your Son, the gift of grace that he brought to us, that he bestows upon each of us that accepts him as our Savior. Because we know that when that time comes for us to stand and be judged, that we will only have victory if we are dressed and clothed in your Son. And it is in his name that we pray these things today. Amen.
Darkness falls around. Your word speaks truth. When we're lost and wandering, you are our God. Above you, there's no one else. You are, yes, you are. When our world is shaken, God of all, you amaze us. You alone are worthy of our praises. You deserve our worship. We adore you. Your glory and your majesty renew us, consume.
Glory and honor.
You amaze us. You alone are worthy of our praises. You deserve our worship. We adore you. Your glory and your majesty renew us.
Clear Lake Christian Church each Sunday offers the opportunity for anyone that would like to say a prayer, maybe learn more about Jesus, learn more about God, learn more about the Scripture, the opportunity to come forward if they wish, to maybe even be baptized or become a member, that sort of thing. We afford that opportunity to anyone that wishes to do so. And I see one young lad, somebody I think I know, coming forward me to see me. How are you doing, buddy?
Good.
This guy, I like to call him Andromeda because I think that's a space sort of character out there, and he's always just going around 100 miles an hour like people do in space, I think. Mm-hmm. But his real name is Andrew, and he's the youngest of our grandkids, and he's seen his brother and sister get baptized. His sister, no less, baptized in the lake. His brother baptized here, and he's been wanting for some time to make that step. So he talked about it with Mom when he found out I was going to be saying the message, and he's up here right now. So I got some questions for you. I'm going to grab a microphone here and see if we can make one of these work as well. I think there should be one back here. I guess these are automatically on then. Oh, there it is right there. No singing. He likes to sing too. Okay. he's a clown, too, believe it. Anyway, there's some questions we need to ask you, Andrew. And the first question is, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of the living God?
Yes.
Do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Would you like to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Well, hey, that's good. So you're right on the right track there anyway. He tells me he'd like to take baptism in the lake like his sister did, so we'll kind of wait till the temperatures get a little warmer and figure out the right and appropriate day, and any and all are certainly welcome to that that baptism, so we'll keep that in mind here in the future. And he said he wanted to go back with me at the end, and so please greet him in the back. Oftentimes people stay up here, but I think you're going to the back with me then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're supposed to say yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, hey, let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, indeed, this is the day that the Lord has made, and indeed, our mothers are your gift of love to us, and we are so thankful for that resourcefulness. Father, you have blessed us with so much, so many things, that we neglect to thank you for them all. We ask that you give us guidance so that we do a better job. We ask that you give us guidance, too, as we go out into the community. May Day coming up with May Basket Delivery, that maybe we can touch the hearts of some souls and have them realize that they, too, can find the gift of life everlasting. And, Father, I ask that you be with the grandson here, Andrew, that you help guide him down those correct pathways with your God positioning system, the GPS system that should work for everyone, that God positioning system to do the right thing in the life ahead of him, that he too may be successful and ultimately someday enjoy the life everlasting in heaven with you and others. We ask these things in thy risen Savior's name. Amen. Just a second, I'll be right back with you. Oh, here you go.
Joined us this morning. Thanks for being here. Go out and enjoy the great day God's given us, and hope to see you again next week. Have a great day.